In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 21 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Lehigh talking with Steve Arntz. Steve is CEO of Campfire, which believes that connection fuels success for people and companies. Campfire empowers leaders with the conversation skills that create a culture of connection and results. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
We like to kick it off just you just reminding and certainly letting our audience know exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And then we'll maybe go into a bit more about who you are. But just what you do and give us an intro.
Sounds good. Co-founder, CEO of a company called Campfire. We like to say that we are on a mission to close the connection gap. So helping people to connect in any way that we can, and particularly right now, leaders and their teams. So post-pandemic, a lot of challenges with staying connected to your team. And then my name is Steve Arntz, and I've been in education technology for a dozen years at this point. Working for a variety of different companies, including Instructure, which people probably know, that made Canvas. And so that's me.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
And ask real quick regarding Campfire and that mission. Yeah. So like, how do you deliver on that mission? Like what does Campfire do?
We have built a lot of content around some key topics. We have facilitators, coaches, guides that help people through that content. And then we have a virtual platform that we've built to replace Zoom.
Cool.
So Zoom is not very good for learning and for connection. And so we've built a video platform that actually meaningfully improves engagement and inclusion for conversations that people want to have on some key things.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, go.
That's good. This is good. So this gives us a really solid start. Tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Growing up or your background or
that's good.
Your family. Yeah.
So I moved 25 times growing up
about. Whoa.
Lived in 14, or went to 14 schools in 9 states. And so all over the country, all 4 corners of the US. I've been to 49 states, just need to go to Alaska to cap it off. We've got plans for my 20th wedding anniversary to take a nice trip to Alaska and finish it off. I have really loved to build and create things since I was young. So my first entrepreneurial venture was selling candy bars at the local middle school. So I would take all my textbooks out, leave them in the locker, and then fill my backpack with candy bars. And I would go to the Sam's Club with my mom and find the things that had highest margins. So as soon as I saw the unit price on the big sign that that has the prices at Sam's Club, I started to realize what I could make the most money off of. And so I started to sell candy bars. I was making some good money before the principal invited me to visit with him. And he shut down my little business, and you might be able to guess why, but I'll just tell you, I was taking away from business on the vending machines at this school. And so they weren't able to buy some of the supplies they needed for the school because I was taking some of that money away selling my candy bars. And I wasn't savvy enough at that point to negotiate some sort of like rev share on my business so that they could still pay for school supplies and I could make money. And so my first business was shut down, but I've been starting things ever since then, trying to find ways to create. And then I got passionate about education technology when I was at BYU here in Provo, and Twitter just got me really excited. I was kind of early connecting with people there and realized that you could connect with almost anyone if you were passionate about the same types of things, and started to connect with people who were building businesses in the education technology space, especially MOOCs, massively online open courses, and started to get really excited about that. And ever since then, I've just been really excited about building education technology. And then I have 3 kids, 11, 9, and 2. We have a little COVID surprise. So
Love it. That's a really interesting. So why did you move that many times? What did you learn? But then we'll get right into, you know, what triggered the start of Campfire.
Sounds good. So moving a lot, I like to say that my dad was just on the run, and then see if I can get some startled reactions from people.
You're going to keep a straight face then when you say that.
Yeah, for sure. But it turns out that 30 years ago, maybe, economic mobility required actual mobility. Mm. So these days, economic right. mobility does not actually require you to move. It's kind of a new thing the last 4 years. Mm. Now, if you want economic mobility, you don't have to move because COVID has sort of like brought all of that down. But back when I was younger, economic mobility required actual physical mobility. And so you had to move to go to the kind of computer-based jobs, the technology-based jobs. So technology, you either moved to San Francisco or there were small pockets around the country where there were technology jobs. And so as my dad wanted to move from building houses to building software, he had to just take leaps. And so his first job was $18,000 a year for a company in South Carolina that actually didn't require you to know how to build software. Mm. They would teach you on the job. Wow. And so they would pay you a salary to learn how to build, because that was the only way that they could recruit, because there weren't any software developers. Yeah. And so then you get stuck in this 18K job and you're like, geez, this isn't gonna cut it for my family. So you moved to New Jersey, and then you moved to Florida where IBM was. And then IBM decides to pull out of Florida, and you moved to California and then Utah. And so we moved all over the place because my dad, and I'm kind of getting emotional right now thinking about it, because I haven't really thought as deeply about it until this point, but he just really wanted to provide for his family and make sure that we could, you know, with four kids, be able to make ends meet. And in order to do that, he just needed to keep running.
And so he did it.
He did
and
it.
You learned a great deal of grit from him for your business, probably, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I think the grit from my business comes from something else my dad taught me, but the relationships and connection definitely come from moving a lot. So you just have to get used to sharing who you are and why you might be interesting to people. Because as a kid, you need to become interesting very fast, or you get very, very lonely very fast. And so you learn how to find things that are interesting about you to share with others, and then learn how to get interested in them as well. And so getting curious and being interesting were things that I probably learned from all of that moving. And then my dad taught me the grit probably from some other things. He was, like I mentioned, a home builder.
Yeah.
Always had some projects going on, and we built a shed in our backyard in Utah, and have done some other things where I've had to mix cement and move rocks and dig in dirt and work really, really hard. So
that's great. Yeah, it's great. Great overview there.
Yeah, incredible. I'm interested in, so what was the problem or the opportunity that you saw that led to what is Campfire?
So we knew that we wanted to start a company for a long, long time. And so I think we might have gotten it a little bit backwards, in the sense that we just decided to start a company before finding a problem to solve.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So my co-founder and I were both at Instructure, and Instructure got bought by a private equity company. Mm-hmm. And when private equity comes in, a lot of times they kind of curb innovation in certain spots in order to feed innovation in other spots. Mm-hmm. And they decided to stop feeding their corporate product that Todd and I were working on. Mm-hmm. And so that meant that we were gonna be out of jobs. Mm-hmm. And so we knew soon enough that we could start to plan just a little bit. And then we had enough cash coming out of that exit that we could start something. We'd always wanted to, and so just assumed this was the best time for us to do that, kind of getting shoved off the cliff.
Yeah.
And so we pulled that parachute out real quick. We knew that we wanted to work at the intersection of growth and connection, so where human development and human connection meet. And so we started a company called Book Club, actually. So it was initially called Book Club.
Yeah.
And we helped 20 companies to have book clubs.
Wow.
And built some technology to facilitate those conversations. Mm. The margins weren't great. The price point wasn't great. But a lot of people were using those book clubs and those opportunities to connect and learn for manager training. And so in the middle of COVID, the role of manager was shifting so much. You had to learn how to connect in a different way. You can just like fly by people's desks and, you know, say, how are you doing? And have those hallway type of conversations. And so we created some intersection points for people where they could have meaningful conversations and stay connected, but the money just wasn't very good. And so as we saw people shifting towards manager training, we just, in about 2 weeks, changed the entire business from just a generic book club business to a manager training company. Mm. And the price point went up 10x. We were able to secure annual contracts with that business. Didn't change anything about the business. Using books, facilitating conversations, same technology, all of it pretty much the same, which is why we could pivot in just 2 weeks.
Wow.
But again, 10x the revenue. So we fired 18 of our customers, just said, we're not doing this anymore.
Wow.
Kept two of them. Those two, again, 10x in the revenue. And then we were able to raise money and start a business in that way. And then what's really been exciting about the business is that we were using technology that already existed to build the company. It was a completely services business. My, at the time, 8-year-old was stuffing envelopes with books and little cards and stickers and helping out with the business in that way. And we were mailing them out to the managers that we were serving. And then we would have conversations on Zoom. And then a little bit of technology in Slack to remind people of certain discussion points and things like that, generate conversation. But it was basically a services business.
Yeah.
And as we facilitated probably 600 sessions, we took 325 pages of copious notes, typewritten notes, on what was bad about Zoom for this type of experience. Then we had a PhD researcher and a couple interns code all of those notes into some insights for us that helped us to build a technology platform that's actually meaningfully better than Zoom for this particular use case. And then as soon as it was ready, and it was only probably 80% ready, we pulled the plug on Zoom, started to use our video platform, even though there were bugs and all sorts of issues with it. And through that, hardened it to the point where now anybody can use our video platform to facilitate these types of conversations, to have coaching, connection, that sort of thing. But it was kind of more of an idea that had us than us having some big grand idea. And over time, you have to just sort of learn to dance with that idea in a way that it sort of evolves and changes and becomes the thing that is useful in the world. But initially, we just were interested in kind of playing.
How do you maintain that flexibility to dance? You know, it sounds very interesting, and I'd be interested to also know, like, you know, that moment where you did take that 2 weeks to pivot. If there was anything specific that did happen that was like, we're gonna do it now. You know.
Yeah. So in that initial pivot, I'll answer that first, and then I'll talk about the flexibility to dance.
Yeah.
I love that idea, just being flexible to dance.
Yeah.
Because dance and flexibility are just go together so well. The pivot came because we were listening. So first step is just being able to listen. And you listen with your eyes, you listen with your ears, you listen with all sorts of different senses when it comes to like customer listening and market listening and all those sorts of things. But we set up some experiments essentially to test whether we could build a viable business inside of the book club space. We knew that based on the economics, the only go-to-market that would work is to actually just put a landing page on a website and essentially give enough information to people that they would just be willing to click buy. And so we set up that entire workflow and we got 30 people who were right in our target segment to schedule interviews over the course of just one day. And so we were at one of our co-founders' house and we were camped out in different rooms and we were just having interviews all day. And then we came back and said, let's look at all the notes. And the notes said nobody would buy on the website, not a single person said that they would buy without a salesperson involved. And if we had to have a salesperson involved on those unit economics, the business was going to tank. It was dead. Yeah. It wasn't going to make it. And so then the next week, we scheduled the same number of interviews and actually doubled it over the course of 2 weeks with our target segment for the manager training business. And those folks said that they would buy with a sales-assisted motion. 85% of them said they were interested in buying at the price point of $50 a user a month, as opposed to the $5 a user a month that we were doing with the book clubs. So 10x.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And 85% of people say yes, and 0% of people say yes. And so at that point, it's not really a matter of courage.
It's like,
it's just, are you stupid or not?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're stupid, you'll double down on the $5 business.
Yeah.
And if you're smart, you'll double down on the $50 business. And then you build that. We had a couple customers say yes. December 23rd is when we closed our two deals. And then we started raising the first week of January, coming back from the Christmas break. So started raising money. And then put on top of that, that my wife and I had just had our little COVID surprise.
Right, yeah.
Right? So brand new baby.
Oh my gosh.
Brand new baby. She's born December 8th. She's in my arms when we closed those first two deals on December 23rd. The two buyers were like, this is a bit of an unfair advantage. Like, you're expecting us to say no when you're holding an infant in your arms? I'm like, yeah, and my infant's life depends on this conversation. So who do you want to be in this moment, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the flexibility to dance, I think it really comes down to whether you can manage fear or not. So I think the thing that keeps you flexible to dance more than anything else is maintaining a focus on purpose and mission and creativity, as opposed to fear and reactivity, which creativity and reactivity, two of my favorite words because of the interplay between them.
Yeah.
Same letters, tiny bit of a different rearrangement. So much of the market, so much of people right now is reactive. Mm-hmm. We're reacting to poor market conditions. We're reacting to inflation. We're reacting to all sorts of different things. And that comes from this fear that the thing that we're building will go away. And when you're not afraid that the thing you're building will go away, and you can start to just focus on the mission and the purpose, the mission and the purpose are durable. They'll be there forever. If you're truly focused and driven by that mission, that purpose, it will be there when the thing you're driving right now, that vehicle, is gone. And so then you're not afraid of the vehicle going away.
Because you can pivot.
You can pivot. Entirely, in fact. Like if Campfire disappears completely, what do I still have? The mission, the purpose. Mm-hmm. And then further beyond that, the people that you're working with as well. Yeah. So I've tried to stay very mission, purpose, people focused. And then you listen again and you try to be smart, not dumb. And you do it all without a fear-based mentality. And when you're basing it on a fear-based mentality, you're looking for just like incremental gains on some of the revenue points and things like that on the existing thing that you're doing. You're much less nimble, flexible, able to be creative around what you can do to really fulfill that purpose, because we're going through another pivot right now. So this next pivot for our business is moving from a place where we said no constantly to other people facilitating or guiding the conversations and other people creating content on our platform. But the market is pulling us so hard. And you know this, Spencer, because you've seen it.
I think I asked. can American Express use this and facilitate?
Yes.
And it was a no at that time.
Right.
But you're...
And that was the right answer then.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the right answer. If we were moving from a fear-based perspective, mm-hmm. the answer would have been yes. It would have been, right. Oh my gosh, we need money so badly. Please can American Express use it for this right now? But the answer was no, because we needed to continue to harden the platform to where American Express wouldn't be pissed at us if the tech was a little buggy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were hardening that platform.
Yeah.
And so the capital raising environment wasn't such that we could just go grab another couple $1 million and five more engineers and be like, oh, but American Express is going to use it, and have investors be like, oh, okay, let me give you a bunch of money, right? And so now that we've been able to harden the platform to a place, and now we have our first customer on platform using their facilitators, their content, and we have 6,000 users coming on board there, now we can start to say yes to other customers, to those opportunities. And it's because, you know, we weren't afraid. Moving forward, mission and purpose. And now we can open up that platform. And so that's that next pivot that we're going through. And again, we made the pivot. We texted some people who had been wanting to use our platform in that way. 9 days later, we have our first deal closed on the new pivot.
Great.
And then we have a whole bunch of demand from that new pivot from other folks as well, now that they know that they can mix their stuff with our stuff and we can kind of dance together.
Sounds like you knew what you were doing all the way along then.
There's some pieces where you do, you are intentional.
Yeah.
That's the really important thing, is to understand the difference between being deliberate and emergent and learning how to make those two things dance together too. So I think business and life is really about these paradoxical dances where two seemingly completely opposed things can work together to create something amazing. So being deliberate and intentional, and then being emergent and spontaneous and responsive.
Sounds like a road trip that we're doing.
I'm not even joking though. We've said almost that same thing. I mean, we were talking about creativity and, you know, the idea of bringing two things that already exist and creating something new out of those two things, those completely opposite paradoxical items. But I absolutely love that.
So I know we need to wrap up and it's we're just trying to get used to these very short interviews.
Yeah.
That we
want to go for an hour.
It's cold,
But I want to just, I don't know, for the audience, just give me a tiny example of what we're talking about. So from a platform perspective, and your all those notes and your PhD, you know, insights, like, what, give me one feature, one thing that is different that kind of does some magic in this not replicate Zoom, completely new platform that sits on top of maybe something that you can imagine that's like Zoom.
Absolutely. So
before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
The biggest complaint from the very beginning of our conversation, so 3.5 years ago, was that people who are not used to talking with strangers, with new people, they're uncomfortable in these conversations. So leadership development for years has been a group discussion-based thing. So some of the biggest players out there have gotten people together with a facilitator in a room and expected everybody to jump in and be a participant in that conversation as comfortably as any of the next people. And so people started to tell us, listen, I don't really like this because I'm not ready to have these conversations. And so we're like, okay, we can fix this. This is easy. Mm-hmm. We'll just send you the questions beforehand. And that helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. But what we've built now inside of a Zoom-based platform, imagine that any time a leader, a facilitator, a guide is asking for, let's say, 10 or 12 people to talk, they never do that without getting them to reflect first. And so we've built a reflection space to where I click go, everybody goes into a very private space with a timer. We actually even have a campfire crackle behind. You can actually hear the crackles and pops of the campfire. And you type an answer to a question that is going to be asked in the room with the rest of folks. And we've eliminated almost completely this discomfort that comes from having to share in a new space in a new room.
Wow.
And so imagine if you take half of the world who's been isolated from these conversations and now bring them to the table, give voice to the voiceless. I had a conversation with 25 people from a really cool university. And they all got on and every single voice was included. Every single voice. Nobody feels uncomfortable.
That's powerful.
Because we have people thinking before they speak, and Zoom doesn't care about that. Zoom doesn't care whether you think before you speak. It hasn't been built that way.
Yeah.
That's a great example. That's what I was looking for. I think that brings it to life to people. I know that's just one feature out
love
of many.
Love the crackle. Doing.
Yeah, I love the that's crackle.
Cool. Yeah.
We'll have to do that.
I want to try it.
We'll do that in the car when we're driving. Yeah, yeah. So that's last question. Can you fit one last question in before we finish?
Yes. So we just usually ask this question to everybody. It may even be part of what your answer was already, but you know, what does it take to take an idea and create something new, create a movement, create something that's never existed before, or even challenge the status quo? What would you say?
I mean, I think you have to have a why, a really strong why, because it's harder than hell, you know?
Yeah.
To go from zero to one is just really hard. And so you have to have some why. For some people, it's money.
Mm.
There's two real sides of the coin. Do good, do well.
Yeah.
That's all you've got, really. You can be impact focused. You can be business and financially driven and focused. Some really great ideas and businesses are born out of the do well side. That's not me. Always start with the impact that you want to have in the world. Do good. And then you just have to have the patience, determination to be able to stay flexible, to dance and continue to stay focused on that mission in a way that eventually it'll come to life. So
love it.
Love great stuff.
I think the flexible to dance and then do good, do well. Like
that might have to
might
go in
be
the book.
On a t-shirt at some point. Yeah. Love it.
Sounds good.
You love Kiln?
I love Kiln. Absolutely.
20 seconds on why?
I mean, it has facilitated, fostered these connections
that
are just really powerful and meaningful for the business. Just an example, there's a marketing leader over here that runs the Tony's business globally. They're these little figures.
Oh, that's right.
That go on this little speaker box. They're beautiful. And I walk past his office and all of a sudden I have 7 Tonys for my little girl. And then I go to Target and buy this Tony box. And just those little connections where you start to, again, dance with creativity and ideas and other people. It just is really powerful for your business.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.